Energy Stew with Peter Roth, Thursdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Progressive Radio Network.
Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And in this show, we're going to delve into inner peace. We're going to talk about how to find it, how to know the methods of creating inner peace in your life. And to do that, we're so fortunate to have on the show a man who is visiting the United States from his monastery in India, who is a Tibetan Rinpoche, and his name is Geshe Lama Abe Rinpoche. And that's actually an abbreviated name. You have a much longer name. Rinpoche, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm very appreciated to meet you, my friend Peter, and I'm very happy to do some, give you back, I hope, good answers as well.
Thank you, and I know we've been talking before we started the show, and I know that you understand the deepest teachings that you're here to offer, that you're a Rinpoche because you've been recognized by the Dalai Lama from a previous lifetime of a Lama who lived in retreat and was known to have supernatural powers. But I don't see you sitting here levitating, rising off the. So I guess you have another purpose in this life other than retreat and levitating. You're here to teach.
Yes.
So you're using that previous lifetime as the opportunity to have gained greater wisdom.
Yes. At the moment, since I'm 7 years old, I'm become monk in Ganden Changze Monastery. Then 7 to 12, I'm studied to memorize. And when I'm 12 years old, His Holiness the Dalai Lama, he recognized me. I'm appearing for chance reincarnation. Then 13 to 35, I'm studied Buddhist philosophy from Gelugpa lineage. In Tibetan Buddhism, they have five different lineage. I'm studying about Lama Tsongkhapa, Gelugpa lineage.
Gelugpa lineage. And that's different. For instance, I have a familiarity with the Kagyu lineage. And those are known as the Black Hat lineage.
Yes.
What color hats are you?
I have hat color in yellow hat.
Yellow hat, okay.
From Lama Tsongkhapa.
All right, good.
Then when I'm 2009, when I'm 36 years old, 2009, January 28, I'm become Geshe degree. This fall, after the Geshe, I'm trying to help in the world so many people. They are interesting how we improve the Dharma, how we improve the inner peace and how we reduce the suffering.
Uh-huh.
And of course, who are interesting Buddhism, of course I can try to help them. Not only Buddhism, all the human beings, we are same purpose, all the human beings.
Right.
They are interesting, they are neat. Peaceful life.
Truth is truth. Doesn't matter whether you're a Buddhist or anything else.
Anything.
But Buddhism does teach about suffering.
Yes.
And that's what Buddha said. It's almost impossible to escape suffering.
Yes.
So we're all suffering, and we want to lighten it up a bit.
Yeah.
And so that goal of inner peace sounds like a good direction.
Yeah.
But how do we get there? And that's the big issue. And I guess that's why you needed all those years of teaching, of studying to be a teacher, so that you could answer these questions on how do we actually relieve suffering?
How we relieve the suffering? Just peace and suffering, those are, we are recognized, those are effect. Tibetan Buddhism, what is important, cause and effect, we are recognized, those are effect. The peace and suffering, they have their own cause. Example, suffering is not come from sky, suffering is not come from earth. Suffering is they come from their own cause.
Desire.
Just like a lot of different cause. Desire, anger, hatred, jealousy, ego or pride. Those are suffering cause, man cause. A lot of different cause, but those are man cause. From them, we human beings are most suffering. This reason, we are recognized my suffering is where I come from. Through anger, through hatred, through jealousy, through ego or pride, then how we reduce those cause is very important.
Right. So we have to be able to recognize when those are at play in our lives and try to modify our lives so we're not so driven by those. Jill, she's an interpreter who's sitting with us, in case we find a need to clarify something. Jill, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And Jill was, you had used the word defilement earlier about these causes of suffering are our defilements. I like that word a lot. And to be clear with ourselves, to be able to distinguish within ourselves when we are holding these defilement patterns in our lives. Now, Rinpoche, what do we do when we see these issues? Let's say that I'm really angry and that's creating suffering. What do I do about it?
When we have suffering from anger, that time you must think about tolerance, because tolerance is antidote with anger.
Okay.
This reason, how we reduce our anger, we must think about improve. You have, fortunately, we have all the positive actions, especially tolerance. We have those positive actions, we try to improve.
Right, sometimes it's hard. When I think of things that I get angry at, it pushes my tolerance buttons. And I say, no, I don't know if I want to be tolerant about that, because it makes me too angry. It's hard to be tolerant sometimes because we feel righteous about it. We feel, what about our survival mechanisms too? Sometimes we say, if I'm tolerant about that, we could all die. I better not be tolerant about that. So sometimes we justify our anger. So then we're stuck in suffering.
Yeah. It's true. What is, of course, sometimes it is not so easy to practice. They need effort. Effort. Just like they have three mentions to how we improve the tolerance. They have three
methods.
Three method. Number one, in the morning, when we get up in the morning, We are 2 minute, 3 minute, 5 minute, whatever we like, whatever we have time. We try to motivation in the morning. Today I'm never ever angry with my family, my friends, peoples. I'm never angry. First motivation. If you did some motivation in the morning, then that time is very easy to practice when we to travel, when we go to the people to show up and wherever we go, when we meet some people, we are easy to recognize today I'm never angry. It's
okay.
It's not so that time immediately no reduce our anger. That time sometimes we until we have angry. If we show angry with the other people or family or friends, we try to regret.
Try to what?
Regret. Regret.
Regret.
Oh, regret.
If you do get angry.
Yeah.
Regret or anger.
Yeah. If
okay. Okay, that's very helpful.
Yeah,
is that we forgive ourselves.
Regret with a promise.
With a promise to lighten up?
No, today I'm very waste my time because I angry with him or her or them or his people.
Uh-huh.
Since now I'm never angry again. Feel regret and feel promise. Since now I'm never angry again his people.
Okay.
Then tomorrow try again this. Then after this. Then this is second one solution. Second solution. Then third solution is we must think benefit from tolerance, harm from anger. We must think.
Okay.
If you think this, then our tolerance are very improved. Angry are very reduced.
Okay.
Because in the human being mind, normally human being mind, they have three levels. Human being minds, they are stand positive levels, negative levels, neutral levels.
Right.
That time, if you do this, practice, think and regret and promise and benefit from tolerance, harm from anger. When we think those things, our mind is always going to the positive levels.
Okay, so what I'm understanding about this is that we can watch ourselves be angry and immediately become mindful that we've overstepped our inner peace, and now we're in a place that we're creating suffering, and so we can just in our mindfulness about it forgive ourselves, hold the regret, and assure ourselves that we'll do better and we'll learn from this. And so if we can keep that mindfulness, isn't it true that we just get lost a lot in our reactions? We're not mindful. That so much of our lives we're just reacting. And so what you're teaching is to live mindfully. But I like what you said about in the morning, at least wake up in the morning. Maybe we need to put a little sign next to our bed to remind us to think about how we can be more tolerant in the day and find new answers other than resort to anger. Or the other traits that we might not like in ourselves. And they were pride was one, and desire. What again, can you repeat some of the other defilements?
From the cause of suffering?
Yes.
We have a lot of different cause of suffering, but main important anger, hatred, jealousy, ego, or pride, and also desire,
right,
attachment, those things
What was the last one again?
Attachment.
Attachment.
Yeah, I need
this. Right.
This reason, right. Buddha Shakyamuni tell us, don't do attachment. What we have, satisfaction.
And that's, it's also tolerance too. Tolerance,
of course,
to appreciate what we do have.
These are positive. Those are, tolerance is a peace course. Peace is course.
Right. So, is tolerance our greatest tool for inner peace?
Of course.
And what is it, what are other good tools for inner peace?
Of course. They have a peace. They have a lot of peace is effect. They have their own cause. Love, compassion, patience.
All right, let me come back to love, okay? I don't know how to identify using love, because to me there has to be some thought that creates an idea of love. So maybe it's the thought that creates love, like compassion. I think so for me the word love isn't as active or as important as compassion, because when we, I think our heartful loving feelings go out to people when we experience compassion for whatever they don't understand or whatever their behavior might be that is throwing us out of balance. Very often, there's even a story that I remember hearing about somebody who was misbehaving really badly, and people got very upset, and they were getting angry at this person for misbehaving, and then they found out that he had a brain cancer, and he was misbehaving because he couldn't think straight. And all of a sudden, that changed their anger. They had no anger anymore. They had compassion. It's like, well, of course this man isn't behaving properly. I feel so much love for him because he's suffering. And so we mistake a lot of our opinions about things. So often what we get angry at is something that we have lost our awareness of, and so maybe it's easier to seek compassion and tolerance when we can look at ourselves and say, I just don't know enough. My mind is creating opinions and they might be wrong. So I think from that point of view, it's easier for me to hold the understandings of how to activate that. Because I would, as I said earlier, there's that sense of righteousness that I come from with my anger. And sometimes I don't want to let that go. And then I get attached to that. So your teachings are very important to remember, and you come from a very holy space. I really feel so happy and comfortable in the environment with you. And so to receive your intentions is easier for me to hold, because you appear to hold your inner peace and to live in your light in a beautiful way. So I think we all want teachers who represent their teaching.
Yeah.
I want to thank you.
You're welcome. May I explain about the love and compassion?
Please.
Yeah. Love and compassion is just like similar same, but not reality same. Love and compassion, they have our explanation, short explanation about the love. Who have suffering, about human beings or animals, when they have suffering, when we saw them when we feel them, how I reduce this suffering. This is love.
Okay, so the love is the interest in reducing suffering. Is the love is you, in other words?
Yeah.
Okay.
We have suffering. This suffering, how we reduce? How we reduce this? Okay. How we reduce this suffering, this feeling and thought? This is love.
Right.
Who need peace? An example, suffering people, they need peace. How can I help this peace? And how I will try to help them to get peace. This is compassion. It's a little bit different. Love and compassion.
Right. So love is more purpose, and compassion is maybe more strategic. So, does that make sense? It's because from what my interpretation of what you're saying is that we know it's love because we have the purpose of reducing suffering. So we attribute love to that. But to create compassion is actually a strategy of understanding.
Yes.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Mm.
Now you're in New York to teach a class, and it's a class on Medicine Buddha. And how does that differentiate itself from what we've been talking about? What is the Medicine Buddha class? You're going to be teaching on Friday night and Saturday at the New York Open Center. It's the 22nd and 23rd of July, so that's why we're having our show on the 21st. And so, what is the Medicine Buddha class about?
Just first I'm giving teaching, then after we are doing question and answers, and third we are doing to Medicine Buddha blessing ceremony.
But what is the purpose of the Medicine Buddha?
In Tibetan Buddhism, who are mental suffering and physical suffering, we are prior to healing Buddha or Medicine Buddha. This reason, I think, if you do this Medicine Buddha blessing ceremony, we help so many people blessing from Medicine Buddha for the more strong energy,
so it's
physical and mentally. Yeah,
it's an empowerment.
It's empowerment, yeah.
Okay, so the blessing is an empowerment.
Yeah.
And you're in New York now, but you were in Washington D.C. before, when His Holiness the Dalai Lama was doing a Kala Chakra initiation?
Kala Chakra initiation, World Peace Ceremony.
Okay, and he met with President Obama.
And so
the Medicine Buddha is an opportunity for people to receive a very important and empowering blessing. How old is the Medicine Buddha blessing?
How old?
Yeah, how far back does it go in time?
I think 45 minutes.
No, I mean, is it how many lifetimes back?
Medicine Buddha.
Yes.
I'm so sorry. I don't know exactly this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. How long?
Okay.
Tibetan Buddhism is Buddha Shakyamuni. He passed away 2,600 years, but I don't know exactly how old Medicine Buddha is.
Okay, yeah. But it's an old blessing.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad it kept up with the times, so that we need it more and more all the time.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's an opportunity. Now, how can people learn more about coming to your teaching on Friday night and Saturday. Do they call the New York Open Center? Jill, do you have information about that? There's a number, 305-283-3434, and that's Jill's number. And good. And so then people can come in and have this important empowerment. And then you're going to be in New York for a while, or you leave? Where are you going next?
Next, I'm going to Miami.
Miami. Okay, yeah. So if we have listeners in Miami, they'll look for you down there. When you're in Tibet, in India, it would be nice to be in Tibet, but maybe not lately. I don't know. It's a very difficult place for Tibetans to live.
Yeah.
But in India, it's now a home for many Tibetans. And you're in a monastery, that you're the head of that monastery.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And what part of India is that?
It's South India.
South?
Yeah. Near Hopli.
Hopli?
Yeah.
I'm not
sure. It's kind of a state.
Okay. And so there are a lot of now there are quite a few Tibetan monasteries in India.
There are a lot of Tibetan monasteries as well.
And
there are a lot of monasteries, monks, and also lay people as well.
Well, I'm so glad that the Tibetans were able to get out of Tibet in time to at least have enough of a population around the world.
Yeah.
And it was very exciting when you were coming here. There were two women who saw you walking up the street in your robes, and they're Tibetans.
Yeah.
And they came running over. They were so excited to see you.
Yeah. Because this is here in New York City, it's unusual for the Tibetan monks and nuns, because it's a very big city.
Right.
When they saw the monks, they are very happy.
Right.
And they are.
Right, there are some stores around here who have some Tibetans. I always like to go in there and talk to them, because I myself am so excited about having a tradition in my own past lifetimes in Tibet. So it's such an honor to talk with you and have you on the show, and I'm so grateful for you to come and speak to our audience.
Thank you.
This has been it's a gift, I hope that our audience can take advantage of your presence in New York for this weekend. The Open Center has air conditioning, so people can go and get out of this heat. But you're used to the heat from southern India.
Yes. Yeah.
So I want to thank you. I appreciate it, and your teachings. Just to be in the presence of you and your teaching is an enlightenment, and I think that's part of the blessing. You know, the Medicine Buddha blessing comes from a place in you.
Yeah.
And I think you live it in your day to day, and so it's a great honor, and I want to thank you for being on the show.
Well, it's my pleasure. Yeah.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at Progressive Radio Network, and I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org, and thank you so much for listening.